In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. De Maria Nunquam Santis. Concerning Mary, we can never say enough. Today, indeed, it's the primary feast of the Virgin Mary. The reason that we celebrate the feast of the Immaculate Conception was to make her the perfect vessel for the incarnation that we see today. All theologians recognize that the greatest title that Our Lady has is to be Mother of God, the Mother of God. And so today is the true feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is the true feast of the Incarnation. What we experience today is the invisible Incarnation. And that's why I look forward with greater glee to this day than I do to Christmas itself, because today is the day when it actually happened first. Only Mary got to witness this mystery in the silence of her womb. A Carthusian monk speaks of this. We know not his name because they do not sign anything. They're just monks. He said, quote, "Whenever God wants to bring about the beginning of a new life, he prepares a sacred place, a haven of purity and silence, where his action can be welcomed unreservedly, safe from all interruptions. All beginnings are thus undertaken in recollection and silence." We gave an entire conference beginning that quote this weekend at the men's conference. And so we have every reason today to feast, and to feast greatly on this day, because in Mary's womb we get to experience Christmas again. This time of intimacy, in this time of quiet, in this time of silence, we celebrate it because this is the day where Mary said yes. Indeed, nunquam satis. Concerning Mary, we can never say enough. And so here's a curious thought. Don't be scandalized by this. Mary is thankful to me for the grace of the Annunciation. Full stop. Mary is thankful for you, to you, for the grace of the Annunciation, which we celebrate today, that allows her to be really as she is, the Mother of God. How is this possible that she could be thankful to you? She could be thankful to me for the grace of this day. It's a little bit of a stretch, but follow me through the logic. There are four short steps to this conclusion, as well as supported. First step, because I'm a sinner means I need a Savior. Simple enough. Second step, God, in the immensity of his great love and mercy, can't stomach the idea of me or you being eternally separated from him without offering me and you a way for redemption. This is the treasury of the compassion of his heart, which is just too great. Isn't that what we meditated on yesterday? That's step two. Third step. The God, our God, in his loving nature for his creature man, drives God to pursue a full eternal friendship with his creature, which is made in his image and likeness. And that necessitated taking on flesh and a sacrificial death to win me and you, to win you and me back to him. That's easy enough to understand. This is because the debt of sin is so great that no man could ever begin to put a dent in it by themselves. We can't achieve any form of redemption. So God does it on our behalf. What's the fourth step? There's a last step. God, in his perfect wisdom, discerned that the Incarnation needed a worthy vessel. So the Immaculate Conception and the Annunciation were granted unto the Blessed Virgin for the sole purpose of allowing our Lord Jesus to become man so that he might effect human redemption. All these things are truths of the faith. We understand them. And so here's the conclusion from those four premises. Therefore, my sin, your sin, is the very reason that Mary was given this great gift. To take it further, had there been no sin, had there been no fall, no human action needful of a Redeemer, without my sins, without your sins, we would not have need of a mother of the Redeemer. What does this mean? It means, ergo, no Mary. That would mean no Mother of God, no Immaculate Conception, no quasi-incarnation of the Holy Spirit, no glorious Assumption, no coronation of the Queen, no fairest honor of our race, no motherly heart in heaven ceaselessly interceding for her poor banished children. Nunquam satis, Maria. Concerning Mary, we can never say enough. The logic is flawless, but if you want more, we can go to the perennial doctor of the Church, St. Thomas Aquinas. He asks about the necessity of the Incarnation in the Summa. This is in the Tertia Pars. He speaks here, quote, "Augustine says, expounding what is set down in Luke 19:10, which says, quote, 'For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost,' St. Augustine says, quote, 'Therefore, if man had not sinned, the Son of Man would not have come, end quotation. And again, we read in Scripture, 1 Timothy 1:5, quote, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And Thomas quotes the gloss on this passage saying, there was no cause of Christ coming into the world except to save sinners. Take away diseases, take away wounds, and there would be no need of medicine. St. Thomas says further in his answer to the question, he says, I answer that there are different opinions about this question. And I'll give you those differing opinions right now, that the doctors of the Church, Francis de Sales, Lawrence of Brindisi, and Albert the Great, all say that God would have become incarnate anyway because there is a necessity built into the very fabric of creation. But the greatest doctor of the Church, St. Thomas Aquinas, quotes his peer as the two Western chief doctors, continues to say, quote, for such things spring up from God's will and are beyond a creature's right to know. These can be made known to us only through being revealed in sacred scripture in which the divine will is made known unto us. Hence, since everywhere in sacred scripture the sin of the first man is assigned as the reason of the incarnation, it is more in accordance with this to say that the work of the incarnation was ordained by God as a remedy for sin, so that, had sin not existed, the incarnation would not have been. And yet the power of God is not limited to this even had sin not existed. God would have become incarnate. Isn't this incredible? These incredible teachings that our Lord has for us. We say it even further. At the Easter Vigil, I was here graced to sing that beautiful exalted, that Praeconio Paschali. And in that you heard these words. O certa necessarium ade peccatum, quod Christi morte deletum est, O felix culpa, quae talem ac tantum meruit habere redemptiorem. That is to say, for it would have profited us nothing to have been born unless the redemption also had been bestowed upon us. O wondrous condescension of thy mercy toward us, O inestimable affection of love, that thou mightest redeem a slave, thou didst deliver up thy son. O truly necessary sin of Adam, which was blotted out by the death of Christ. O happy fault that merited to possess so great a redeemer. So just as we sing in the Easter proclamation that is that exalted, we sing about how our blessed Lord Jesus is the Redeemer, so too you and I could sing similarly about the Blessed Virgin, who is the co-redemptrix. Our mother, Mary, co-redeemed us by her perfect life, her suffering at the cross, and by her embracing of the divine will at the Annunciation, which we celebrate today. So that means that we could sing the exalted a little bit differently, if we dare. We could sing as well, for it would have profited us nothing to have been born, unless Mary's yes to co-redemption had not also been bestowed upon us. O wondrous condescension of thy mercy toward us, O inestimable affection of love, that thou mightest co-redeem a slave, that thou didst deliver up thy son. O truly necessary sin of Adam, which was blotted out by the death of Christ, O happy fault that merited to possess so great a co-redeemer. De Maria numquam satis. When speaking about the Blessed Virgin Mary, we can never say enough. And understanding that everything this way, it changes everything about who we are, about the way we approach God, the throne of grace, the divine mercy. It is my most grievous fault, which is my greatest reason to rejoice. My sin is the worst thing that ever happened in the entirety of the universe, sin. But it gave me the greatest gift in which to be able to rejoice. As my sin wounded everything, my sin healed everything in Mary. And it made Mary, through Jesus Christ, able to heal everything that is wounded in her act of co-redemption. And this is why Mary is so solicitous for us, that she reaches out for us, that she desires us so much to be healed of everything that separates us from God. Our sin gave her this great grace. Our sin is the reason why she is called so blessed, highly favored, full of grace. So she wants to use all that grace that has been given us, firstly, yes, as a duty to obey God and His divine plan, but also out of a debt of deep gratitude to us for being able to give such great gifts to God. It's a strange logic, is it not? But so is the cross. The cross is strange logic. A brutal torture and humiliation tool is somehow a thing in which we are able to rejoice beyond rejoicing. This too is strange logic. And that strange logic is the central tenet of what our Christian faith professes. So it is that one day, Mary will thank you And so in all these days, until then and beyond, I'll continue to thank her. I'll be able to thank her for what she did, that I might be fixed, cleansed, and healed. And I'll thank God for being so strangely logical, that he would do so for me, through her. This indeed is a felix culpa, a truly happy fault. And so to close with a prayer of Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity, meditating on this very fact, she prays, O Mary, nearer than all to Jesus Christ, although at a great distance that is infinite, you are the great praise of the glory of the Blessed Trinity. You are always holy, always unspotted, always blameless in the sight of the thrice holy God. Your soul is so simple. Its movements are so deep, so deeply hidden, that we cannot detect them. Your whole life may be summed up in these words from the Gospel. His mother kept all these words and pondered them in her heart. You lived within your heart. So deeply did you enter therein that human eyes cannot follow you. And when I read in the Gospel that you went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah to perform an act of charity for your cousin Elizabeth, I picture you to myself as you pass by, so beautiful, so serene, so majestic, so absorbed in communion with the Word of God as he lives in you. To this we can return great thanks for Mary. Indeed, Nunquam satis, Maria. Concerning Mary, we can never say enough. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.